Whatever God has called you to do, He's going to enable you and strengthen you for what you need to get through it. Remember, He's a good God. Not a bad God, He's a good God. And guess what? He will take the difficult things and even turn those for good. And therefore, we need to see things differently.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, as we embark on today's teaching, give us an idea of what we'll be learning from the book of Ezekiel.
Well, Dave, today we're going to be concluding our look at a passage that is crucial for understanding the calling for those who are to preach the Word of God. And with that in mind, it's crucial for those of us who are taught the Word of God to understand this calling. So with this in mind, turn your Bibles with us to Ezekiel chapter 2, and we're beginning in verse 8.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
And he said to me, "Son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with the scroll which I'm giving you." Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. It's quite an amazing illustration as Ezekiel's being called, right? You think God's called you to share the Word of God? Well, you need to eat it first. You need to consume it. You need to get it in your heart, your soul. You need to be ready to share His Word alone, no matter how difficult it is. You've got to be in His Word. You've got to know His Word. You've got to study to show yourself to prove. And if God has called you to do that, if He has gifted you to do that, then you share forth His Word, not yours. So then here, verse 1, "Son of man, eat what you find. Eat the scroll and go and speak to that scroll." Hey, eat what you find. You got to look for it. Eat it. Find it. Eat it. And then we see here, he's to go and speak it. So we have this physical example of digesting the Word, right? It's a physical example. The Lord is having him eat this scroll. And then he's to eat it, and he's to go speak forth to the house of Israel. I believe at this point we have receiving the Word illustrated. You got to open your mouth. You got to receive it in your heart. You got to digest God's Word, not just let it skim around the surface. You need to get it in your heart. To do that, you got to set aside all filthiness and all malice and all that remains of wickedness. Confess sin. If you got sin in your life, you're not going to receive God's Word. First of all, you're not saved. You can't receive it. You'll hear the gospel, get convicted, and you can turn to Jesus. But if you are saved, you got to set aside sin and then receive the Word implanted. So he says, "So I opened my mouth," and it says that he fed me this scroll. Brothers and sisters, when we are coming to the Word of God, we got to see this God feeding us spiritually. He is feeding us. God is through His Word. He's feeding us what we need for life and godliness. He's feeding us everything we need for our spiritual life and everything for this life. You know, it's the Word of God that grows us in respect to salvation. 1 Peter chapter 2. "Therefore," and again this principle, "putting aside all malice, all guile and hypocrisy and envy aside," set aside. You mess up, confess it, set it aside. It says, "like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." It's like God's Word is the nutrients you need for spiritual life. Long for it. Now, we'll see later on, Ezekiel, there were those who certainly enjoyed sermons, but they didn't obey God's Word. We're going to see it's not just longing for it and getting it in your heart, it's obeying it. That there should be a change. So he said to me, "Son of man, feed your stomach." Verse 3, "and fill your body with the scroll which I'm giving." Feed yourself the Word of God. Fill yourself up. Fill yourself up with the Word of God. Let it be overflowing in you. And notice he says, "Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey." You know, God's Word is sweet. Even the difficult stuff is sweet if we're willing to receive it. "Listen to the Lord and fill your soul with His Word." Psalm 1. "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night." Colossians 3:16. "Let the Word of Christ dwell richly within you." Get it in your heart. Let it dwell richly. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "We need to see God's Word for what it really is, the Word of God, which performs its work in you who believe. You need to see it for what it is. You know, it's easy to take things for granted. It's easy to see things wrongly and to lessen the value of something. Don't do that with God's word. Turn to Psalm 19. We should be leaving church going, oh, I'm full, right? We should be filled up with the word of God. We should be leaving our studies and our own personal say filled with the word of God. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. You got a soul problem? You need God's word. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You know, you don't need Mitzi Pazalazalun for your depression. You need the Lord. You need the Lord. The Lord is the one through his word who changes our hearts and minds. You need the Lord. Now, again, just a caveat, don't run out and change your medication if you're on it. Go to your doctor, but get in the word of God. Let him get you off it, okay? But get in the word of God. Psalm 19, and he says here, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Look at this. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them thy servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. How about Psalm 119, 103? I'll show this. How sweet are thy words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 119, 104. For thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Feed yourself with the word of God. It's sweet. If your heart's right, feed yourself with the word of God. It's sweet. So then, what does biblical obedience look like? Well, first of all, we have to have an open heart to the word of God. We need to listen, and then we need to receive it and get it in our hearts. You got to get it in your heart. And then we're going to see there is a response. When we believe what God's word is, it's going to result in a changed heart that desires to obey. Okay? Notice chapter 3, verse 4. Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. So now he's saying, here's what you're going to do. If you've been fed the word of God, you're to listen, you're to fill your souls, we'll see. Now go to them. And notice he explains, he says, for you are not being sent to a people, that would be speaking of one nation, a people of unintelligible speech or difficult language. Hey, people you can't understand their language, it's hard to learn. He's not saying that. He's not saying sending him to that. But to the house of Israel. Nor to many peoples, many different nations. Basically, that's what he's saying. Not to one nation or to many nations of unintelligible speech or difficult language whose words you cannot understand. But I have sent you to them who should listen to you, yet the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, since they are not willing to listen to me. Surely the whole house of Israel is stubborn and obstinate. He'd obey God's word, not fearing and knowing that he'll strengthen you. He'll strengthen you for the task. Whatever it is, if he's called you to preach, he's going to strengthen you for the response. He's called you to serve and obey. He's going to strengthen you for however people respond around you. He's called you in your relationships to obey him. He's going to strengthen you to endure what he's called you to endure when difficulties come. He's going to strengthen you. So here he says, hey, I'm not sending you to people that you can't understand their language or peoples. I'm not sending you to people that it's hard to learn. They didn't have that, like, whatever that thing is, Rosetta Stone, that's right. Ezekiel, I'm not sending you to the jungles of New Guinea where you don't understand their language and they're difficult to learn. I'm sending you to the house of Israel. And look at this, house of Israel, middle of verse 4. House of Israel, end of verse 5. House of Israel, beginning of verse 7. House of Israel, middle of verse 7. Let's make it a point. And he's sending them to the ones that's in his midst. The Lord is on the throne. Ezekiel's on a mission to his own people who are in exile. He's being sent by God to them. And they should listen, but they won't. Yet the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you. They should listen. Verse 6, should listen. Hey, they name the name of the Lord. Just like, you know, you talk to somebody who says, yeah, I go to church, I'm a Christian. And you talk about things about the Lord, and they're like, you know, and they kind of just say, yeah, great, bye, you know. They should listen. They should want to hear the things of the Lord. But they don't. Something's wrong. Something's wrong, and what it is they're not wanting to listen to the Lord. When people don't want to hear the word of God through his people, they don't want to hear his word. Yet the house of Israel, verse 7, will not be willing to listen to you, since they are not willing to listen to me. And I shared those verses earlier that show that was their problem. They would not listen to the prophets. They would not listen to God and thus respond and turn from their evil ways. They wouldn't listen. And my brothers who are preachers and teachers, it can be quite discouraging at times when it appears so few people want to hear the word of God. And you might be tempted by Satan to take it personally. Might be tempted to change your strategy, quote unquote, that people might listen. Don't do it. Preach the word in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction, knowing that the time's going to come when they're not going to listen. They're not going to do a sound doctrine. And they're not listening because of you. They're not listening because they don't want to hear God's word if you're preaching it by His Spirit. Yet they will not be willing to listen to you, since they will not want to listen to me. So then, I'm sending you, speak my word whether they listen or not. That is not a determiner. How you respond does not determine what I am to say. How the church responds to the pastors and teachers does not determine what they say. Don't ever fall into that evil, sinful, wicked, satanic trap. The fear of man brings a snare. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 1, if I wanted to please men, I wouldn't be a bondservant of Christ. Well, a lot of people aren't bondservants because they're men pleasers. And notice he says to speak whether they listen or not. He's being warned that he would not be well received. And we've been warned that. I alluded to it in 2 Timothy 4. I've alluded to it already, that we're to preach the word in season, out of season. We know from 2 Timothy 3, evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse. We know that. But what are we to do? We're to preach the word. Regardless if it is the smell of death to those who claim God's name but are perishing. Regardless if that's what it is. Who's adequate for these things? Not that we're adequate to consider anything that's coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. 2 Corinthians 3. So are you willing to serve the Lord faithfully without the expectation of temporal results? Are you willing to do that? Praise the Lord when the results come. Angels rejoice when one sinner repents. Praise the Lord. But sometimes God puts us in a place in His sovereignty where they're not going to listen. And they're not going to respond. Are you willing to be obedient? Or are you going to just make up your own direction, do your own thing? We need to obey the Lord without expectations of results and leave those. And guess what? When we obey the Lord, sometimes the people we minister to might become difficult. We saw last week that they're going to be like thorns and thistles, like sitting on scorpions. That sounds like a fun ministry, right? No, it sounds horrible. These people are going to be like thorns in your side and like sitting down on a scorpion. Not good. But the Lord is going to strengthen Ezekiel. Notice this. He's going to strengthen him to deal with their hardness. He's going to strengthen him so that he will not become dismayed or fear. And we need to know the Lord will strengthen us for who we minister to. Behold, verse 8, I have made your face as hard as their faces. Hey, they're hard. He said, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. They're hardened. He's using an illustration here. I'm hardening you, Ezekiel, so that you don't fall because they're hard. Like emery, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Remember what Ezekiel's name means? It means strength. And you need strength. You're in a marriage where you're being obedient, your husband's not safe, whatever it might be, you need strength to do the right thing. You're in relationships that are messed up, you know, because of non-believers or those who make believers, you need strength. You serving in the Lord and the church and there seems to be opposition, you need strength. Whatever God has called you to do, He's going to enable you and strengthen you for what you need to get through it. Remember, He's a good God. Not a bad God, He's a good God. And guess what? He will take the difficult things and even turn those for good. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 12. And therefore, we need to see things differently. So when you look later on, you say, wow, Ezekiel's doing pretty good against all this bad stuff. Well, don't forget, the Lord said, I'm going to make your head hard. I'm going to make your forehead hard. I'm strengthening you. The Lord did it. The Lord did it. 2 Corinthians 12, this is after Paul had shared this vision he had, experience he had. And he says in 2 Corinthians 12:8, concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times, and the thorn in the flesh that was given to him to keep from exalting himself. It says, I was entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he, verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 12, has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I'd rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He's saying, these things make me weak. They make me trust the Lord. And when I trust Him, I'm strong. When I'm weak, I'm strong. All right? Praise the Lord. God's grace is sufficient. And then notice back in our passage, not only will the Lord strengthen, but Ezekiel is not to fear them. He's not to be dismayed. Middle of verse 9. Do not be afraid of them. That's the Israelites who claim to follow the Lord, but he's going to minister to and they won't listen. Do not be afraid of them or be dismayed before them, for they are a rebellious house. Don't be afraid of them because they are rebels. They're not on God's side. They're not my people. He's saying they're a rebellious house. You're with me. They're over there. Don't be afraid of them. Remember we saw in verse 6, and you, son of man, neither fear them nor their words. Though thistles and thorns were with you, you sit on scorpions, neither fear their words nor be dismayed at their presence, for they're a rebellious house. Don't fear the words of those who pretend to follow the Lord but reject His word and won't listen. Their words are stinging. It's like sitting on scorpions. Okay, it's like thistles. It's not going to be fun, but don't fear them. And he also talks about don't be dismayed before them. He said that, and then in verse 6, dismayed in their presence. God does not want you to fall apart in front of them. Don't fall apart in front of them. You represent me. I'm going to strengthen you. Don't be dismayed before them. Don't be dismayed in their presence. Dismayed means to have basically an emotional breakdown. The word dismay means to be broken. Don't be broken. We got all this PTSD stuff, broken people. Well, they need the Lord. Ezekiel, you're going to have all kinds of reasons to say you got PTSD, but no, don't be that way. Don't fear them. Brothers and sisters, no matter what you're going through, no matter what has happened to you, the Lord will strengthen you. Don't buy the world's view of how to be repaired emotionally, whatever it is. You need the Lord. He will strengthen you. He will protect you. He says, do not fear or be dismayed. Though they are, end of verse 9, a rebellious house. Why would they do such evil? They're in rebellion. That's why. Because they don't listen to the Lord. They're rebelling because they don't listen. They're rebelling against God, not you. They're rebelling against God. Now notice we have the call that he has reiterated for us more plainly, more clearly in verse 10. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, take into your heart all my words which I shall speak to you and listen closely. There you go. Plain clear. Take into your heart everything God's going to say, and listen carefully. You know, when things are important, we listen carefully. Or when we value or deem them to be important, we listen carefully. You want to obey the Lord God? Bring His word to your heart and listen carefully. You take it seriously? And he says here, and again, it's being reiterated, verse 11, and go to the exiles, that's the guys that are right around you, to the sons of your people, they're Jews, they name the name of the Lord, speak to them and tell them, whether they listen or not. And lastly, I believe this last portion here is an encouragement for Ezekiel that whether they listen or not, when you obey the Lord and you do His work, trusting Him, filling yourself with His word, that all heaven is on your side. Then the Spirit, verse 12, lifted me up and I heard a great rumbling sound behind me. Remember, this is a vision. Remember, he has seen this storm coming with lightning and all the stuff, and there inside there's the glowing metal, and it's coming from the north, and then he sees this vision of these angels with the wheels and the eyes and moving, doing God's will perfectly, and then the expanse and the Lord over that. Now, look what happens here. I heard a great rumbling sound, and then notice this, the sound is associated with this. Blessed be the glory of the Lord in His place. And I heard the sound of the wings of the living beings touching one another. Hey, remember when they're on the move, their wings are moving, right? And they would stop when they're not in the move, right? They're on the move. And they got Ezekiel here, as you're going to see. And the sound of the wheels behind them, even a great rumbling. Hey, God is intervening on the events in earth. Okay? So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. And I went embittered in the rage of my spirit. And the hand of the Lord was strong on me. Then I came to the exiles who lived beside the river Shebar at Tel Abib, and I sat there 7 days where they were living, causing consternation among them. So what's happening here? Again, Ezekiel is being caught up in this vision of what God is doing through His angelic beings, and they're praising God with the glory of God, and he is being caught. The Spirit has taken him up, and the wheels are moving, and things are happening, and he is part of this. When you obey God, you're part of something way bigger than what you think. First of all, the Lord is on your side. And that's the most important thing. You know, I love this passage, and you can turn there to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And this is Asa, the king. He obeyed, and then he didn't obey. And God's saying, hey, here's what's going on here, Asa. 2 Chronicles 16:7. At that time, Hananiah the seer, came to be a prophet, came to Asa the king of Judah and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Aram and not relied on the Lord your God. Hey, he trusted man in Israel's dealings with other nations. He says, therefore, the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hand. Hey, you lost the battle. They escaped because you relied on them, not the Lord. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubim an immense army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet now in this circumstance, God's reminding you, because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Hey, when you relied on the Lord, God delivered them in your hand, King Asa. And then he says here, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. He'll strongly support you when you do the right thing, no matter what happens. Now he's going to say, Asa, hey, from this point on, you got more wars because you blew it. Let's not be like Asa. Let's trust the Lord. Trust the Lord in what you're doing, in your job, your relationships, as you serve the Lord. Trust him, rely on him, and all heaven is on your side. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth to strongly support. And this picture for Ezekiel is this grand vision of God on the throne, and all the workings of his angelic majesties are on your side, Ezekiel. It's going to be tough. And we need to see that. When you're obeying the Lord God in your marriage, you're obeying the Lord God at work, when you're obeying the Lord God at church, when you're obeying him, he's strongly supporting you. Now notice one weird thing here. You might think it's weird, but it says that he went away embittered in the rage of my spirit, and the hand of the Lord was strong on him. I think he is embittered in the fact that Israel isn't going to respond. He's embittered in the fact of the judgment that's going to come, that he's taken this in. And he's been strengthened to deal with them. Verse 15, then he says, then I came to the exiles that lived beside the river Shebar at Tel Aviv, and I sat there 7 days where they were living, causing consternation among them. We're going to see Ezekiel speaks when God wants him to speak. He didn't just run out and say, look what vision I saw. He waited 7 days. The Lord was going to tell him when to speak. You know, God says for us to do something, but we've got to trust him when to do it. We run out and do stuff on our own. So then, do you realize when you trust the Lord and obey him, all of heaven is on your side? Strongly support. His eyes move to and fro to strongly support those whose heart is completely his. And we will see he strongly supports Ezekiel in this very difficult ministry, which is ultimately a blessing because it shares God's judgment against sin, but his grace and mercy for those who repent. And that he will reign on the throne, although others seem to be reigning now.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the Ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, would you share again how we can obey?
Well, Dave, as we've seen, when it comes to obedience, there needs to be, first of all, an intake of the Word of God into our hearts. We need to listen closely, and we need to receive the Word of God. And secondly, we need to step out in faith and obey what we've heard, regardless of our perception or how people might react or how they might think. And then as we step out, we need to realize that God will provide the power to do what he said, that all of heaven is on our side if we don't fear and we trust in him.
You see, the Lord is the Lord of the universe on the throne, and he is directing for his glory. So with this in mind, as we've seen, we need not to be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word, who listen and act upon what God says.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.